Let's talk to a guy that knows basketball as well as anybody in the whole dang state of North Carolina. BuzzBeat Radio Podcast. Brian Geisinger joins us here to talk some Hornets. Brian, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm hanging in. I'm just glad Charlie got out of Detroit with a win last night.
You ain't kidding, man. That thing, I wanted them to put that away so many times, and we had to sweat it out literally to the final shot of the game.
I tell you, Detroit's got some good young players going forward, though. I don't know what they're going to be, but Killian Hayes and Sadiq Bey are going to be pretty ridiculous.
And how about Frank Jackson and his hair off the bench? I didn't realize Frank Jackson was doing it like that, Lou Williams style off the bench. Brian, how are we supposed to view last night's win? Because we got some fans hitting us up saying, oh, man, that win was huge. We got other fans saying, yeah, beat Detroit, settle down. How are we supposed to feel about that game last night?
Yeah, I think feel pretty good, honestly. I mean, look, I know the Pistons aren't good. They've won 19 games all year. It's, like, not a very good basketball team. Like you guys said, it came down to the wire. But at this point, man, you know, you can't be choosy about how you take your wins, especially one on the road, especially one without Devontae Graham, no Gordon Hayward. You know, no Cody Martin, no P.J. Washington, no Miles Bridges. And to have a tough offensive game like that and still get the win. I mean, Malik Monk really struggled offensively. Terry couldn't buy a shot until he hit two big ones down the stretch for the Hornets. So I think you take what you get. And I thought LaMelo, like the shot-making, the three-point shooting last night and his passing was really the difference. Along with, like, you know, Jalen McDaniels had a good two-way game when they really needed it from him, considering how low they are sort of at the power forward spot. But LaMelo was huge for them in a game that they absolutely had to have. And I think for your Charlotte, you just do anything you can to hang on to the eighth seed here and get to that part and just stay in that part of the play. And so they're 1.5 games up on Indiana, who lost by, gave up 200 points to the Wizards two nights ago. You're two games up on Washington. That's intense. So, as they only have a handful of games left this season, all of these things count. At the end of the day, margin of victory doesn't matter. Opponent doesn't matter. It's just keep winning these games, as many as you possibly can.
We're talking to Brian Geisinger, BuzzBeat Podcast, here on the Mac Attack. BG, if you go back to sort of your evaluations of LaMelo pre-draft and after he got drafted right away, what surprises you the most from watching him game in, game out about his game at 19 years old?
I think it's the three-point shooting, I think, is really what it is. Because, like, the passing, you know, I felt very strongly about his ability to sort of like see the court, see the game in a unique way. Now, he makes one or two passes every night that make your head spin and make Eric Collins, you know, self-combust during a broadcast. And that's super fun. But I do think it's the three-point shooting. I mean, he's shooting above 37% on the season. He's been good on the dribble, off the catch, like in a variety of settings this season. His ability to shoot the basketball from range, from real range, has been big. And I think, you know, even though maybe the footwork, the form is a little wonky on that shot, it goes in a lot. And it can open up a lot for him as a driver and a passer. And even though he's not a great finisher at this point yet, what that three-point does for how it forces teams to cover him is like a big swing skill for him going forward. So I would say the three-point shooting. I even think the fact that he's sort of like mostly fine on defense too. Like, he has his bad moments, but man, his ability to like read and his just feel for the game is incredible. His ability to read, make plays, get steals, deflections. He has an impact on that side of the court too, even if he is a little limited guarding the basketball. But I would say 3-point shooting, biggest surprise for LaMelo.
Brian, I thought Mac brought up a great point today earlier in the show. That's when his good points are, way early in the show, buried around 6:06 a.m. or so. Mac said that his ability to read defenses in the passing lanes might be part of his, because he's such a great passer on the other end. I thought that was a great point by Mac today.
Yeah,
it's like he thinks passer. Like that inbounds play, like he read that like a book last night.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he has – this was the reason why I had him as the top pick in the draft, even though I really liked Anthony Edwards. A good bit was just because his feel for the game is just, I mean, it's in the 99th percentile. He's a basketball genius. And you do, certainly the most obvious form of that is his ability to pass the ball. But like you guys were just brought up, His the way he reads the game in passing lanes. I mean, he's going to be a guy that just gets a lot of averaging over 1.5 steals per game this season. So like, he's going to be a guy that's going to rack up a lot of those during his career.
Definitely. And those steals and rebounds that he gets, it's going the other way with a fast break that you know, that he can run. It's beautiful. We're talking Brian Geisinger, BuzzBeat Radio Podcast, talking about the Hornets, the downs of more injuries and guys sitting out, but also finding a way to win last night. You mentioned you liked Ball and Edwards in the draft, and here they are, and they look like the two best rookies in the league right now.
Yeah.
Rob Parker, as he is apt to do, was stirring it up the other day on Deadspin, Brian, saying, LaMelo Ball, I don't care what he does. He hadn't played enough games. He has not played enough games to win Rookie of the Year, and the only reason he's going to win Rookie of the Year is because the media fawns all over the highlights and stuff like that. Do you think if he plays these next seven games, knock on wood, that's 70% of the season, you've been watching him play. I know Edwards is coming on. Do you think Ball should get the Rookie of the Year?
Yeah, I definitely do. And Edwards is awesome. Like you said, he's been coming on strong. He and the Timberwolves have been playing significantly better as of late. But yeah, I mean, if you get to the 70% limit of a season, that's pretty good. Like in terms of percentage of games played, and I do think LaMelo's just been the best rookie this year. There are plenty of stats you could cherry pick or pluck for this that would support that notion. But he's had, like, just at the end of the day, the thing to remember, he's had a historically good season for a teenager. Like, he's 19. Yep. He's basically put this team in the playoffs. They were bad, which wasn't in the lineup. And just what he does for them offensively, the on-off split with LaMelo, not just in terms of, like, how they score, but, like, how quickly they score. Like, they're so much faster with him on the court this season, where their shots come from. So many more shots at the rim. So, no, I would say, hands down, I mean, LaMelo's been the best player, and I don't want him losing, 5 weeks of action to be the thing that cost him. And luckily, none of us on the show have to go to, Rob Parker for our sports reason and sports logic segment. So, I would still have LaMelo. Maybe not by the same margin as he would have pre-injury, but I still have him as the Rookie of the Year for sure.
We're talking to Brian Geisinger, BuzzBeat Podcast, accsports.com as well. Brian, do you think we're going to, at some point in the next couple of weeks, get Gordon Hayward back, and will we get the full Gordon Hayward, or are we running out of time now to see the Gordon that we kind of paid for and saw in December, January, February?
Yeah, I mean, I got to think it's a real concern at this point. I mean, we'll see. I think he's supposed to be reevaluated, or maybe he was recently, and I potentially missed an update on it. But, like, they don't have that many games left in the season. They've got, what, 7 games left, and then likely the play-in, and then hopefully the playoffs after that. So, if a guy like Gordon was going to come back, it would probably have to be sooner rather than later, unless you think you can really do it in that last week of the season or the play-in, just drop some of these guys in. But that's also going to be when, like, Miles is coming back, too. It's like, we want nothing but safety and good health for Miles. We hope everything's good with him right now. But, yeah, just having those two guys out of the lineup and sort of, like, an uncertainty of when Hayward is going to come back and sort of, like, less of an uncertainty with Miles, but still not exactly sure when Miles, what his first game back will be either. So, look, if they're going to actually get into the playoffs, they're I think they can win a play-in scenario without Gordon Hayward. But he's such a difference maker for them offensively, the ability to hunt matchups, what he unlocks for them offensively, his passing, his shooting from everywhere on the court. I just think he's such a stabilizer for them. When things get a little hectic and LaMelo isn't in the game, and Hayward's a guy you can just throw the ball to, and he's just going to make a good decision or make a tough shot. So I'm starting to get a little worried because, for so long the injury discussion centered on, when's LaMelo coming back? Well, now he's back. And certainly you have plenty of other guys on the lineup too. But Hayward's been their, he's been their best player this season.
No,
maybe at least
no doubt.
Until Miles came on this way. So you absolutely need him back in some way, shape, or form or fashion because, like, he's their best player. Like, he does so much for them offensively. quickly in terms of their lineups as well. So fingers crossed. Hopefully he can get back and get some buildup. But I do think it's like a little bit of a mystery, at least like for us covering the team, as to when that may actually happen.
I said we paid for Gordon Hayward. I didn't mean Mac and myself. I meant the Hornets, like we in the city. I didn't mean Mac and I. Mac and I didn't foot that bill as investors here.
MJ passed that tab down to us, $140 million. I meant
like the Hornets. I said we. I'm part of the broadcast team, Brian. All right,
there
just said that. Everyone said it. Read the emails. Read the email chain. I'm on the bottom.
Go ahead and wee, Boney, all the way home. All right, Brian Geisinger, check him out. Check those guys out with the BuzzBeat Radio podcast. Find him on Twitter for great hoops content, Hornet stuff, college hoops content, at @BGeis_Bird. Thank you, brother. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. And anytime you guys want to slide some cash my way, a la Gordon Hayward, I would be.
No, we've used it all. We're out.
Yeah, we only had $140 million. We had just no more than that. All right, Brian Geisinger joined us here on the Mac Attack on FNZ.